Well, hello, everyone. Good morning and good afternoon. And to those of you who are listening live from Europe and Africa, good evening. Welcome to the teleclass lecture, Chlorhexidine Baths and Central Line Associated Bloodstream Infections. My name is Paul Weber, and on behalf of Professor Syed Tar, the co-founder of this lecture series, I'd like to say that we are very honored to have you join us today. As you can see on the title slide, our speaker today is very accomplished. Professor Sylvia Munoz-Price is an associate director of, is an associate professor of medicine at the University of Miami Miller School of Medicine and the medical director of the infection control department at Jackson Memorial Hospital, which is a very large teaching hospital and, which I've found out recently, is ranked one of the best hospitals in the U.S. If you look at the titles of the articles that Professor Munoz-Price has published, you could rightly assume that she is an expert in surgical site infections, preventing them. That is, as well, she is an expert in the prevention of central line-associated bloodstream infections. I'm very excited that she's able to make this time for us. And I am also very honored that Sage Products, Inc. is sponsoring the broadcast of today's lecture. So thank you very much to Marcy and to everyone at Sage. I will now turn the floor over to Professor Sylvia Munoz-Price to present chlorhexidine baths and central line associated bloodstream infections. Over to you, Sylvia.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much for inviting me to speak to your audience today. So, as you mentioned, the topic of this lecture is going to be chlorhexidine baths and their impact on central line-associated bloodstream infections, also known as CLABSIs. I would like to disclose that a couple of weeks ago I signed a speaker contract with Sage. However, this company has not given me any compensation for this talk, nor influenced the contents of this presentation. So let's go over the outline of this presentation. Number one, we will have a broad overview of the mechanisms of action of chlorhexidine. Number two, we will discuss the bacterial colonization of patients' skin, also known as fecal patina. Number three, we will review the pathophysiology of CLABSIs and how chlorhexidine impacts the incidence of CLABSIs. Number four, we will review the literature in regards to chlorhexidine baths and their impact on CLABSIs. The studies are going to be divided by type of product used during the study, either solution or wipes. So, chlorhexidine gluconate. Chlorhexidine is a product that has been around for a while, since 1954. And it's a long-acting topical antiseptic that is water-soluble and remains in the skin for several hours following application. Therefore, it is important not to rinse it off, which is frequently done by the staff, but it's important not to rinse it off after application to the skin. And we will talk more about this detail later during my presentation. So in the next slide, still talking about the characteristics of chlorhexidine, it binds to negatively charged bacterial cell walls, causing them to burst due to osmotic changes. It has activity against gram-positives, gram-negatives, and also against yeast. However, it's important to mention that chlorhexidine does not have activity against spores, such as Clostridium difficile. In the next slide, we see that chlorhexidine has different uses depending on its presentation and vehicle of application. It can be used for, one, skin antisepsis in order to reduce bacterial skin burden. Number two, reduction of CLABSIs. Number three, reduction of acquisition of certain resistant organisms, such as VRE and MRSA. Number four, preoperative bathing on scrub. Number five, impregnated devices such as vascular catheters and dressings. And also it can be used as an oropharynx and antiseptic. So the main uses of chlorhexidine baths are three. Number one, to decrease the incidence of CLADSIS. Number two, to decrease the acquisition of multidrug resistant organisms. And number three, to decrease surgical site infections. Before we go on, I wanted to talk to you about fecal patina. And you will understand the importance of this concept in a couple of slides. But this term is used to describe the bacterial burden on patients' skin. The term fecal patina or fecal veneer was crafted by Bob Weinstein from Rush in order to describe the heavy burden of enteric contamination. So remember, stool organisms do not remain in the stool, but rather contaminate patients' skin and the environment of the hospital. So in the next slide, you see that in 2012, Popovic and collaborators published a paper in Infection Control and Hospital Epidemiology on the relationship of chlorhexidine skin concentration and the degree of bacterial burden on the skin. In the next slide, you see that they evaluated the total of 20 MICU patients that received daily chlorhexidine baths. To the left of the chart, you see low concentration of chlorhexidine associated with higher levels of bacteria on the skin. As you increase the skin concentration of chlorhexidine, the concentration of bacteria in the skin decreases. In the following slide, you have two figures. They show the bacterial concentrations in relationship to the baths, pre-bath, post-bath, 4 hours after the bath, and 23 hours after the bath. The top figure shows the results based on different types of bacteria. All of them go down after the baths and remain lower than the pre-bath levels for several hours. If you look at the lower figure, you see bacterial concentrations based on body site, either neck, antecubital areas, or inguinal areas. All sides show a major decrease of bacterial concentrations after the bath. So, in the next slide where you have a cartoon, you see the question, why should chlorhexidine decrease the incidence of CLADSIS? Well, as previously described by Sather and Mackey, there are four main potential sources of infection of a percutaneous intravascular device. Number one, skin organisms. Number two, contaminated catheter hubs, either due to contaminated skin flora or contaminated hands of healthcare providers. Number three, contaminated or the intravenous infusion solution that we're using. And number four, hematogenous infection or secondary infection. Therefore, chlorhexidine theory can act by decreasing the risk of the first two risk factors, either by decreasing skin organisms or by decreasing the contamination of catheter hubs. So that's it. Let's go ahead and review the literature. We will divide the studies based on the type of chlorhexidine preparation, either chlorhexidine impregnated cloths or chlorhexidine solution. So let's start with studies using chlorhexidine impregnated cloths. And the first paper that we are going to review is by Susan Blaisdell and colleagues. This paper was published in the Archives of Internal Medicine back in 2007. And what the authors did is they looked at the effectiveness of chlorhexidine baths on CLADSIS in an MICU at Rush. The product used was chlorhexidine impregnated cloths. So go to the next slide and you see the design of the study. This was a crossover design in which MICU A started the interventions with daily chlorhexidine baths, while MICUB received conventional soap and water. After 28 weeks, a washout period followed, and then the intervention was switched to MICUB, while MICUA received conventional soap and water. In the next slide, you're going to see the results. And you see how the number of CLABSI events decreased from 22 during the phase of soap and water down to 9, with a corresponding CLABSI rate decrease from 10.4 to 4.1. This decrease was statistically significant. Let's move on to the next paper, which was also published by Popovic and collaborators and done at the same ICU than the previous study. This study was published in Infection Control and Hospital Epidemiology back in 2009, and it was a retrospective evaluation of the real-world effect of chlorhexidine clots on MICU patients. And the difference with the previous study is that in this particular study, there was no oversight of the research staff during the usage of chlorhexidine clots. So the next slide has the results. The investigators found a decrease of CLABSI from 5.31 in the soap and water phase down to 0.69 events per 1,000 device days in the chlorhexidine bath phase. This difference was statistically significant. And if you look at the next slide, you see that the monthly CLABSI rates over time decreased dramatically once the chlorhexidine baths started in that particular ICU. Next, we have another paper by the same authors, but now in a different ICU. The paper is titled, Daily Skin Cleansing with Chlorhexidine Did Not Reduce the Rate of the Central Line-Associated Bloodstream Infection in a Surgical Intensive Care Unit. This paper was published in 2010 in Intensive Care Medicine and retrospective evaluated the effect of chlorhexidine baths using impregnated clots on the rate of CLABSI in a surgical ICU. So in the next slide, you see that the rates of CLABSI stayed unchanged from 3.81 to 4.6 CLABSI per 1,000 device days. This difference was not significant, so it stayed the same. If you look at the next slide, you see a chart showing the monthly rates before and after the implementation of the intervention. Now, the reasons postulated by the authors for the lack of improvement during the intervention included that the patient characteristics were different than in the MICU patients. They mentioned that the surgical ICU patients had large abdominal wounds, and potentially they lacked regular wound cultures sent by the teams, which might have underestimated secondary bacteremia. The authors also mentioned that the sample size was powered to detect a difference. So small sample size was not a reason for not finding a difference in this paper. Okay, let's move on to the next one. This is a paper that with my collaborators I published in Critical Care Medicine this year. The title is Effectiveness of the Stepwise Interventions Targeted to Decrease Central Catheter-Associated Bloodstream Infections. This work was done here at Jackson Memorial Hospital and published in Critical Care Medicine 2012. It had four phases. One, a baseline phase. Two, a scrub the hub phase for 15 seconds, which was incorporated by the nursing staff. Three, the addition of daily chlorhexidine baths using chlorhexidine impregnated clots. Four, daily ICU nursing rounds were incorporated, and again, they were stepwise implemented in a stepwise fashion, so they were added to the previous interventions. So we had three different types of ICUs, the SICU, the trauma ICU, and the neurosurgical ICU. For the purposes of this presentation, the only faces that we care about are faces 3 and 4, which are shown with the red arrows. And what you can see is that the CLABSI rate in all ICUs decreased from baseline during the phases, during this chlorhexidine phases in all three ICUs. The next study we're going to talk about was done by Evans and colleagues in a trauma ICU. They used a quasi-experimental design to evaluate the impact of daily chlorhexidine baths using impregnated cloths on CLABSI rates. This study was published in Archives of Surgery back in 2010. They found a decrease of CLABSI rates from 8.4 down to 2.1, with a statistically significant difference. No changes were noted on UTIs, VAPs, or secondary VSIs. If you look at the next slides, you see the impact of chlorhexidine baths on the type of organisms causing CLABSI, with a predominant effect on gram-positive. The next study was done by Monte Calvo's group, published in the American Journal of Medicine this year. They performed a multicenter evaluation of the impact of chlorhexidine baths on the incidence of CLABSI. The following slide shows what the authors found. An adjusted rate of 6.4 events per 1,000 device days in the pre-intervention, followed by a rate of 2.6 in the intervention phase. Now, they had a third phase, which was a post-intervention phase without research oversight, and the rates remained low at 2.9. In the following slide, you can see the adjusted CLABSI rates by study phase, pre-intervention to the left, intervention in the middle, and post-intervention to the right. And you see how nicely the rates went down over time. Now let's move on to the to studies using chlorhexidine solution. Let's take a look at three studies that use chlorhexidine solution. The first one was published in 2007 in the International Journal of Antimicrobial Agents was published by Gold and colleagues. The main aim of this study was evaluating the impact of intranasal preparations and daily 4% chlorhexidine baths on MRSA. However, Staph aureus bacteremia was evaluated as a secondary aim. In the following slide, you see the percentage of ICU patients with MRSA bacteremia in the top figure, the percentage of patients with MSSA bacteremia or methicillin-susceptible Staph aureus bacteremia in the middle figure. And in the bottom, you see the coagulase-negative Staph bacteremia. And these findings are separated by a study phase, before and after chlorhexidine baths. So during this study, there was a decrease in the percentage of coagulase-negative Staph bacteremia cases only. The next study we're going to review on chlorhexidine solutions was published by Klimo and colleagues in Critical Care Medicine back in 2009 and looked at chlorhexidine baths and their impact on vancomycin-resistant enterococci, also known as VRE, MRSA, and healthcare-associated bloodstream infections. In the next slide, you see the table with results showing a decrease of VRE bacteremia from an initial rate of 3.3 to less than 1. Then you have a chart showing the changes over time of both VRE acquisition and VRE bacteremia before and after institution of chlorhexidine baths. The next study is a study that I published with my collaborators. It's a quasi-experimental study published in 2009 in Infection Control and Hospital Epidemiology looking at the impact of cohexane baths on the Class C rates at a long-term acute care hospital. For the audience that might not be familiar with long-term acute care hospitals, these are facilities in the United States that admit patients for an average of 25 days, so approximately 3 weeks, with patients that still require acute care, such as weaning of the ventilator, intravenous antibiotics, or care of complex wounds. So during this study, we had three phases. The first phase was a baseline phase, where when the staff used soap and water to give baths to their patients. Then we have a phase during which we use chlorhexidine solution. And then we have a post-intervention phase in which the staff initially stopped using chlorhexidine solution and switched it on their own to baby shampoo. And later on, the administration decided that they were going to stop doing chlorhexidine baths altogether. So you see high rates before the intervention to the left, going all the way up to 16 events per 1,000 device days. In the middle, you have the rates while using chlorhexidine baths, and how nicely the rates came down, and the effect was immediately after institution of chlorhexidine baths. And to the right, you have the rates after chlorhexidine baths were stopped with a significant increase in the CLABSI rates. So the next slide shows a meta-analysis that was published this year by Ohoro and collaborators on the impact of chlorhexidine baths on CLABSIs. And here you find that the authors found that either chlorhexidine solution, which is in the top portion of the list, or chlorhexidine impregnated wipes, which is towards the bottom of the list, were effective for decreasing CLABSI rates in different studies. So the next slide shows implementation of chlorhexidine baths. What you have to keep in mind if you plan to introduce chlorhexidine in your institution. So number one is you have to remove all non-compatible products from the units. Soaps, lotions, skin barriers that are non-compatible with chlorhexidine. There are lists online of the products that have been proven to be compatible and the products that have been proven not to be compatible with chlorhexidine. So I will encourage you to look for this list if you're planning to institute this intervention. Of course, you have to in-service your staff before starting this implementation. Something very important is to personally observe the bath, not just at the beginning of the implementation, but regularly afterwards. The reason for that is that your staff will try to revert to baseline. Now, this is not because of malice, but rather because the staff has preconceived beliefs of what is better for their patients, and they really think that foaming is an important characteristic. It's an important criteria for cleaning the skin of the patient. And chlorhexidine doesn't foam. Therefore, in their minds, chlorhexidine is not cleaning the skin of their patients. So they are going to try to switch chlorhexidine, mix it with shampoos, as my experience was in the outback, with wall soap that has happened here at Jackson, they're going to try to get a foaming product. And the last thing is quantify the usage of the product by the units. And you can do that by, well, here in the United States, we have the advantage of having an omnicell, and we can quantify the usage in a weekly basis. But if you can do it by other means in your institutions abroad, I will encourage that as well. So the next slide goes over why chlorhexidine is difficult to implement in some cases. Well, again, chlorhexidine doesn't foam. And personnel perceive this lack of foaming as lack of cleaning. So when I instituted chlorhexidine solution at the long-term acute care hospital, there were several modalities in which the staff tried to combine or use the chlorhexidine solution. Some of them will put it in the microwave and make it boil so it will be comfortable for the skin of their patients. Now, that said, we don't know what boiling chlorhexidine causes to the product. So it might denature it. We don't know that. Other staff members, what they will try to do is mix the 2% chlorhexidine with warm water. Now, the problem of doing that is you further dilute chlorhexidine by doing that. And you want to keep the concentration that you put on the skin of the patient at 2%. So if you have 2% liquid or solution and you further dilute it with tap water, just for the patient's comfort, then what is the final concentration that you're giving to your patient? And the last thing is that you have to ensure that chlorhexidine is not rinsed off from the patient's skin. Sometimes it can feel a little sticky for a few minutes, but again, you have to discuss this with your teams, reinforce it, that chlorhexidine should not be rinsed off. That is a concern, especially with chlorhexidine solution here in the United States, that comes in bottles that have a label that says to rinse it off after a couple of minutes of application. So again, 2% or 4% chlorhexidine ideally should be left on the skin. So concluding this presentation, chlorhexidine baths constitute a powerful tool to decrease CLABSIs. Preparation of the inpatient units should be done before instituted chlorhexidine baths, and frequent observations should occur after implementation in order to ensure compliance.
Thank you very much for that presentation. That it is a lot of material. And I was wondering about the resistance to chlorhexidine, bacterial or microbial resistance to it. Is there much evidence of that?
That's an excellent question. And yes, there have been studies showing resistance to chlorhexidine. However, the concentrations that you reach in the skin are so, so large that resistance can be overcome. So at this point, and I think this is a concept that is shared with Dr. Weinstein, who's done a lot of research in this topic of chlorhexidine, is that that is not a reason for not doing chlorhexidine baths in a daily basis among your patients.
Are you still doing research on this topic? Are you doing more work on this field?
We are. We are currently doing work with chlorhexidine, scrubbing the hub protectors. We are moving into, we're going to be launching chlorhexidine baths outside the ICUs hopefully soon. So we're excited about this interesting project?
The pre-prepared packages where there is a washcloth and chlorhexidine in a plastic package that's intended to be used for one use and then discarded. Is there any evidence that being wrapped in plastic or being stored at room temperature or stored in any way degrades the chlorhexidine value or the efficacy of that product?
No, actually there's not such evidence. As a matter of fact, chlorhexidine wipes come with one, we can ensure about the amount of chlorhexidine that we're going to be giving to the patients, because the likelihood that the staff at the bedside will dilute the chlorhexidine is almost non-existent when we use the wipes. Two, as an advantage, the wipes come with moisturizers for the skin. And the problem with chlorhexidine solution, at least the problem that I observed when I used it at Yeltech, is that it dried the skin, probably because of the percentage of alcohol that it had on it. So for those, and I would say third, in general, in my experience, and this is something that is not written in the literature, but in my experience, by using chlorhexidine solution and chlorhexidine wipes in different institutions, it's much easier to implement chlorhexidine wipes because the likelihood of bedside personnel changing the procedure at the bedside is significantly less. So that is the main advantage that I see on chlorhexidine wipes.
Well, I thank you very much. And I would also like to acknowledge, again, Sage Products for their sponsorship of this teleclass broadcast. As everyone knows, teleclass education does not endorse or advertise any company or product, but we do have some fabulous corporate sponsors who help make the teleclass education program possible. Teleclass education is available for free to people in developing nations, and we have, I think, close to 90,000 members worldwide in I think 180 different countries who access the teleclass education program on a regular basis. And a lot of that is thanks, at least financially, is thanks to the support that we get from companies like Sage, and I thank them very much. So I thank you all for joining us today. I hope you will join us again very soon. Professor Munoz-Price, thank you again. I really enjoyed that talk, and I think it was very valuable. I learned something out of it. I'm sure that the rest of the audience did as well. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. It was my pleasure, Paul.
And to all, we will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye.